When We Got to the Seventh is a series of stories about an encounter with the seventh something. Could be the seventh anything, anywhere, anytime, and features compelling characters and intriguing stories. It's written and performed by me, Emma Clark. Please consider supporting us on Patreon. Our Patreon supporters will get early access to our stuff, exclusive audio that won't be available anywhere else on the internet, and access to our development diary. We've made different tiers of support starting at just $2. We'd love to make a second season, and we'd love to work with other actors. So please take a look at our Patreon page to see if you'd like to join our team. Just click the7th.uk and follow the links. This story is called It Takes a Certain Disposition.
See, the big thing about mountain climbing is that it's really dangerous. I think it takes a certain kind of person to be a climber. At this level, anyways, professional. It takes a certain disposition. As a child, I was something of a loner. Other kids didn't understand me, and I didn't understand them. I didn't understand dolls. I just used to take them apart to see how they were put together. And the other kids, well, turns out they thought that was weird. Turns out the teachers thought that was weird too. And also the educational psychologists.
I think we need to talk about your daughter.
But hey, I turned out just fine. I've always enjoyed my own company. I enjoy silence. I don't want the pressure of social interaction, the pressure of having to think of amusing things to say. I'd much rather climb a really big rock. It's gotten much more complicated now, you know. No, I'm something of a celebrity, at least in the climbing fraternity. I've got people I have to talk to. I have a team. I have Simone, my business manager, who mostly I can communicate with via email. And my sponsors. Again, when Simone's remit ends and mine apparently begins, email. Sometimes, though, I have to speak to the postman if he's got a really big package, if I've ordered something large off of the internet.
Just leave it on the porch and go.
So you can understand the strength of feeling I experienced when Simone told me via email that I had to embark on arguably the most challenging and difficult climb of my life with Maxine. Maxine is everything I am not. Oh, sure, she's a big noise in the climbing world. She's got like 500,000 Instagram followers and like a gazillion sponsorship deals because she's into hair products and smartphones and has her own sportswear brand and is known as the vegan climber. I mean, sure, Maxine is great. She's got a big fan base. She's been retweeted by at least one Kardashian, which is why she had to do this climb with me. Apparently, that's what they said. They said, no Maxine, no money. This climb is a big deal, they said. It's gonna have a lot of sponsorship and publicity potential, they said. Can't you at least consider getting an eyebrow wax and some concealer, they said? Because there'll be photographs. Inevitably, Maxine will photograph you. She won't, I thought. But I didn't say it. Maxine is habitually into free soloing. This means she climbs without ropes or anchors. It's just her and her hands and feet clinging to the rock like a maniac. She's a showboater. I think free soloing is selfish and reckless and frankly just showing off. She said in one of her Instagram posts that she had to climb the wall to stop her going up the wall. I think she thought it was gonna turn into a meme. She said she was getting over a bad breakup and was gonna use the mountain to heal her soul. What a load of baloney. Climbing a mountain is no joke, and it's no place for, excuse my French, a masturbatory narcissistic pity party. 5 people have died in climbing accidents on El Capitan since 2013. I keep a database of all 1,839 deaths that have occurred in the park. It's not morbid, it's research. All my life I've wanted to climb El Cap. It's the biggie. It's a mountain that inspires awe and wonder. It is a mountain of epic grandeur. And I wanted to do it alone, on my own, just me and the rock. And of course my ropes, and my anchors, and my food and water, and baby wipes, and the other necessary equipment, but essentially I wanted to do it on my own. All my life I've wanted to be the first woman to ascend the Grand Slab of El Cap, which, incidentally, is a climb that involves some of the most difficult pitches on the whole planet because there are lots of blanks where basically the wall is very flat and there are no clear rock features to grab onto, so you gotta be really, 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 really good just to even think about doing it. And I'd wanted to do it alone as the first woman in the world. But no, I had to do it with Maxine. Simone said I should follow her on social media to get her vibe and exchange messages before we physically meet. Of course, I realized I'd have to meet her before the climb. I knew that. To cut to the chase, we met. We were cheese and chalk. She's got big, frizzy hair that I know will become an issue in the rostrum. That's the tent we'll rig against the mountain thousands of feet up the rock. This is the base camp of the ascent. It's just a flimsy-looking thing strapped to the rock face to protect us from the elements. And in that environment, it's irresponsible to have that much hair. I told her that I'd only be prepared to climb with her if she wore a hood, or a hat or a scarf. She thought that was funny. The big idiot. The team kept telling me that teamwork was crucial on a climb like this, that it was essential that I had to try to get along with Maxine, that I should do everything I could to build up trust. Anyways, the project was beset by difficulty at the start. The weather was wrong, the wind was too high, Maxine had a sore throat, Maxine had a sore ankle, Maxine had her period. But on the 7th day, very early in the morning, I said enough was enough and that I wanted to start. It was the first thing I'd said for a while, so everybody stopped and listened, and I actually think I may have said it very loudly. So loudly that I inadvertently alarmed a bighorn sheep, which meant it had specific impact. We'd obviously done a lot of preparation and we knew all the pitches of the Grand Slab. There is another route to the summit known as Fool's Vein that's taken the lives of 3 climbers. It's impossible to climb, but of course, Maxine said you'd like to give it a try. I put my foot down. No! I said, no! And that was that. We were going up the Grand Slab. When you climb a mountain, it's like grabbing razor blades embedded into the wall. Your hands find the dots of cracks, crimps, dishes, hollows, noses, and if you're lucky, ledges. It hurts. It makes your fingers bleed. It's cold and scary, and sometimes it's wet and your eyes hurt with the sunlight, but nothing good in the world ever happened because people were happy and cozy. I could hear Maxine some feet away, giving a running commentary as she climbed. I think she was recording herself. It was pathetic.
I'm moving gracefully, balletically even. Drive up off the left foot into the thumb press. Roll two fingers over the thumb. Switch feet. Left foot out to a sloping foothold. Switch thumbs. Launch into the karate kick.
Listening to her stupid voice made me want to punch her in the throat. On the first day, we climbed and climbed. I felt strong and the conditions were perfect. The rock was beautiful, glass smooth in places, cheeky and unpredictable in others. You can hear the animals in the park. There were bears, coyotes, vultures. Sometimes a bird will fly at you as the sun comes up over the outcrop, and you'll think it's going to peck out your eyes. That kind of thing makes me laugh a lot when I'm clinging to the rock. If you're lucky when it's raining, you'll see a rainbow arcing off the side of the mountain. It's the most beautiful place on earth. And I had to share it with Maxine. I was not what you'd call a happy bunny. Anyway, we got to the site where we were going to rig up the rostrum, and when we were inside the tent, I had to talk to her. I mean, to ignore her in that situation might have come across as rude. She asked me if I kept a climbing journal. No, I said. She said she liked to keep a record of how she felt on every climb. If she saw a beautiful juniper tree, she liked to write a memory of it. She'd write things like, "I miss my mom. I miss my dog." She said she was into meditation. After dinner, which was a wholesome tin of chickpeas and pasta cooked on the tiny stove in the tent, Maxine asked me to meditate with her. She started chanting. It was unbearable. I said I was too tired and wanted to sleep. Then she started crying, saying she missed Brad, he's the guy who dumped her, and saying she wanted to have a baby. "Too bad you're single and aging," I said. Then she cried some more. Eventually she fell asleep, but that was no respite because she snored, and as I've already said, she was a vegan. The next morning, I was exhausted, but I was eager to make progress. "My wrists hurt," said Maxine. "I don't think I can climb today." So after all her brouhaha, I had to sit it out with her. It was windy and it rained. I suggested we play I Spy, which I thought was pretty generous because I'm not a gamey sort of person, but she declined. She said once we'd guessed tent and mountain, we might run out of material. I thought her tone was rather sarcastic. She tweeted a lot. She'd brought a keypad with her so she could connect with the world, which means she wanted to make money off of her posts. It was sickening. She posted pictures of herself. She got excited when people interacted with her online. She giggled on a mountain. It was so inappropriate. I hated her. That night she didn't meditate. Worse, she sang English folk songs.
But never a mad wooing when the lack of things three.
Then she ate potato chips loudly. She'd done the shopping list, and consequently the peanut butter I had specifically requested had not been included in the kit. Maxine made damn sure she got her pesto, her red bell peppers, and her lip balm. But as for my peanut butter, that was a different story. She said she wanted to make toilet. On a rostrum, you have to do it off the edge. It takes practice. She sat on the edge of the rostrum to do her business, and then she asked me what my happiest memory was. She said she wanted to get to know me. If there's anything I detest, it's that. And then, it all happened so fast. She must have lost her footing or her balance, and before I knew it, she wasn't there anymore, and I was sort of stretched out across the rostrum towards the opening. I heard a sort of gasp as though she was surprised by something. And then there was just wind and weather in the space where Maxine had been. I'll admit it was a shock. One second she was there and the next she wasn't. I think she'd fallen, which is obviously a bad thing to have happened. I faced a choice. I figured it was in everyone's best interest if I just got on with the job I was there to do and make it to the summit, even if it meant doing it alone. A lot of sponsorship was riding on this climb. People had expectations. I had a reputation to maintain. So I made my preparations and gathered my equipment to begin my ascent. It was a beautiful morning, dark, still, very quiet. The stars were beginning to fade and the sky was turning color gently every second. My body moved against the rock, my ropes knotting to the anchors with efficiency and precision. I took no risks. Heck, every second when you're climbing, you're dicing with death, let's face it. My hands moved on the mountainside as though they were acquainting themselves with an old friend. The mountain held me, propelled me onwards, upwards, and before the sun was up, I was near the summit. The exhilaration I experienced was off the charts. I felt a heady mixture of pride, delight, and what I think was pure joy as I completed my task. I was there. I'd done it. I'd climbed the grand slab of El Cap, the first woman to do it in the whole world. It was a hell of a deal. And man, what an achievement. It's just a shame Maxine wasn't there to see me do it.
You've been listening to a When We Got to the Seventh podcast story. It was written and performed by me, Emma Clark, and was produced by Rick Watson. Our theme music is composed by Francesco Giovanangelo. Big thanks to our Patreon supporters and especially to Elisa Kenyas and Corey Funk. If you like When We Got to the Seventh, please consider supporting us on Patreon. You can follow the links on our website, theseventh.uk. There's all sorts on there, bonus material and a whole bunch of stuff. We really hope you've enjoyed this first season of our podcast series. We really love making it. See you next season on When We Got to the Seventh.